This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a sunny afternoon, a high temperature of 38, and a few snow flurries and a little bit of rain over the weekend. We'll have that for you.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, investors are crossing their fingers on trade, and that has been enough to push stocks and the Dow back above 26,000, but not by much. The Dow is up 157 points at 26,007. The NASDAQ is adding 54, the S&P 15. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is breaking even, but just below the flat line. Now, on Wall Street, investors are bringing their hopes for progress on trade in talks with China. There was a nine-hour session yesterday, and today President Trump is set to meet with China's lead trade negotiator at the White House. That'll happen this afternoon. But time is short now because we are just a little more than a week away from the deadline at which tariffs on Chinese goods could more than double. And there are still some very serious issues on the table. Both sides are far apart on issues such as intellectual property and things such as that. But for now, hope is winning the day. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, the Smollett and the downfall, we're going to be talking about that, its impact on viewers and producers. And the markets are up today, but a large Chicago company is selling off.
And we'll have Entrepreneur Friday a double dose, including some general advice on becoming an entrepreneur, how to do it successfully. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Optimism is rising that the U.S. and China are closer to a trade agreement. We're going to update that in our next segment. But right now, the charges against the actor Jussie Smollett have caused producers in the Chicago film show Empire, the film that has been on for five seasons now, to make changes. Let's talk about the fallout with Tim Hanlon, founder, CEO of the media consultancy firm Vertera Group here in Chicago. Tim, this has been a lot to handle this week.
Oh, I think it's been a lot to handle on a whole bunch of different levels. But, there's many things left in the story, I think, to play out. And, we'll sort of see what all sort of shakes out. But it, make no mistake, it has certainly caused a bit of a disruption, shall we say, for the day-to-day production of a hit show that's based here in Chicago. And, there's absolutely going to be some reverberations of that, both on the set as well as the life of the show Empire as it returns for the remainder of its fifth season later next month.
How will other producers be affected by this?
Well, look, I want to call it a quote unquote isolated incident, but it's certainly a situation that is endemic to the various players involved. How disruptive it is to the current production of the show. You have to think that the actors and the producers and everybody sort of involved in the production of this show will not be unaffected in some way, shape, or form, right? So that said, I don't think it has any sort of long-lasting effect on production here in Chicago or the interest of people to shoot shows here in Chicago. I just think that it'll be very interesting. And again, I'm thinking about this just in economic and business terms. People from a curiosity factor be more interested in watching the show than they might have been a month or two ago, despite its already hit status, because of all these these incidents. You hate to say that any publicity is good publicity, but the reality is that we live in a culture where curiosity seems to trump everything else. I think in the short term, this is It's not a great time to be on the production set of the show. We're at Fox Studios. It's still a story that has a lot of things yet to play out, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you're making a good point, because I think a lot of people, something like this happens and they assume, oh, it's going to be bad for the show. Will the show go off the air now? But you might actually have people who haven't tuned in a while tuning in, as well as people who wonder, hey, if they write his character off the show, how are they going to do that? They might tune in just to be interested to see how the show handles it.
Yeah, and sadly, it's a perverse kind of sort of thought pattern around all that, right? But that kind of, in many respects, business-wise, just is. I think it's also interesting, too, the economics around the show are largely set. It's my understanding that the bulk of the actors on this show, including Jesse Smollett, are contracted for 7 seasons worth of shows. The show has, I think, been picked up, through a 6th season. I'm not sure if the 7th is there, but to the extent that the show goes 7 seasons or even longer, all of the actors and I believe much of the production investment base is pretty much solid and stuck through 7 seasons. So there's not going to be any sort of near-term disruption to the economics of the production of the show, as far as I can tell.
And so that is probably good news then also for all those people behind the scenes. You touched on this, and when Roseanne had her issues that got her knocked off the show, all the folks behind the scenes were worried about their jobs as well. If all the rest of the cast members are locked up, then it's not going to have a sort of a wider impact beyond just, well, being challenging for a while.
Well, Cisco, it's also part of a very robust production business for television and movies here in the city. I mean, you've got basically Chicago Fire and Chicago PD and Chicago Med and Chicago, I don't know, Golf Course, who knows, right? All these shows. It's a very, very rich and robust production environment we have in the city. And we should be very thankful for that, despite all the distractions of this particular episode.
And Chris and I are pushing for Chicago newscaster.
You bet.
Yeah. So far, no luck, though. I don't know. We'll see.
Tim, thanks for joining us today. Tim Hanlon is founder, CEO of the media consultancy firm Verter Group here in Chicago. And coming up, hope is growing that the U.S.-China trade war is easing.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest round of trade talks between the U.S. and China has wrapped up in Washington amid hope of a new deal, hoping it can actually get finished. And actually, there's some breaking news. CNBC reporting the president and the Chinese president discussing a late March summit at Mar-a-Lago. So that's even more significant progress. We'll watch over the next few minutes how Wall Street reacts to that. Let's talk to Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Carl, starting to feel, I mean, until a deal's done, there's nothing done, but starting to feel at least like there's a little bit of progress.
Yes, certainly the details that seem to be drifting out little by little in dribs and drabs from the negotiations are presenting a favorable picture. That being said, I'll believe it when I see it. We've been down this route before where it looked like progress was being made and then things kind of fell apart in the late stage of the discussion. What we've seen this week is offers from the Chinese to buy certain dollar volumes of agricultural products and energy products, which would shrink the trade deficit with China, but that's not going to do it. The U.S. negotiators really want changes to intellectual property law, currency manipulation, government sponsorship of state businesses and whatnot, and that's a much more difficult negotiating mountain to surmount. And so I still harbor a significant degree of skepticism that we're actually going to reach a quick conclusion here. We're pushing past the March 1st deadline, and I suspect that this deadline could be extended a couple more times as well.
Yeah, it sounds like much easier for the Chinese to agree to just buy more of our stuff than to change the rules on intellectual property.
Absolutely. That's fundamental to the negotiations here. And I can't really envision either side backing down. So I don't think we should become overly optimistic that we will reach a resolution by the end of March. And either we get extended considerably further or potentially talks do break down, which means that then the 10% tariffs on a wide array of Chinese imports will then go up from 10% to 25%.
Why have we continued to hear an announcement that there is going to be a meeting and a session, and we have not seen these being played out? Why have there been so many like that?
Well, I think that they're coming very slowly to reach some low-level items that they can agree on, which then creates some optimism that maybe they can get to a larger, more comprehensive agreement. But I think there's still a pretty wide gap. So I know the market likes to think the trade standoff is being resolved, and that should be a big positive for the markets. And every time we get those rumors, we do see a favorable reaction in the financial markets. But then we continually go through the disappointment phase thereafter. So I think we have to be very cautious not to get too bullish on these hints that there may be maybe some progress. Both sides are standing pretty firmly on their core tenets of the negotiation. So again, I'm much less optimistic.
What does China want?
China wants the U.S. to drop tariffs and not put the pressure on these forced intellectual property transfers and whatnot, and the U.S. is pushing very hard for that. So I think fundamentally, maybe they're not understanding what is at the core here. China seems to be offering things suggesting that President Trump just wants to shrink the trade deficit. It's more than just that bilateral trade deficit that matters. It's this broader macroeconomic framework, which has really extracted a significant toll on U.S. industry and American workers, for that matter, over the last couple of decades.
Thanks for the analysis, Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, life lessons that can be applied to building business success. And Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, business. This news sponsored by Baird, and here's Joan Doniger.
Chris, the Dow is circling the 26,000 level now, a few points below, but the gains are still substantial. Right now, it's at 26,000, up 150 points. The NASDAQ up 54, the S&P 14. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg inching lower by a tenth of a percent. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain markets are firmer as we move through the noon hour. The market's done a good job of handling this morning's reports. The weekly export sales report, which updated numbers from this winter's government shutdown, and the USDA Outlook Forum numbers were basically within trade expectations. Corn futures are up 1 cent across the board, soybeans 2 to 2.5 cents higher, and the wheat market 2 to 3 cents higher. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. Carl Riccadonna just told you the details of the trade situation, but investors are buying their hopes today of progress before next week's tariff deadline of March 1st. GM now pushing back its plans to close the suburban Detroit plant that makes Cadillac CT6s and Chevy Impalas by about 6 months. Reuters says it'll close January instead. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining some ground today. We'll see what's boosting the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, the founder of a Chicago content marketing agency, shares his story of success.
Independent brands are making a bigger mark in the beauty industry.
We're just learning that R. Kelly has been charged in Cook County with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, and this is according to the Sun-Times.
WBBM Business, the Dow up 147 points, NASDAQ up 55, and the S&P is up 14. Oil today is up nearly 1%. We have a little bit of sunshine in Chicagoland, really turning out to be a beautiful day. High, right about where we are now, 38 degrees. It's 38 at O'Hare, 35 Midway, 35 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are higher at this hour, and we're joined by Nick Raich, the CEO of the Earnings Scout in Cleveland. The website is earningsscout.com. Nick Raich, well, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tell us what you're thinking about the markets today.
So it's nice to see the markets come back. rallying today after a brief pause there. It's been a strong start to the year. Markets are resetting higher here in 2019 because at the end of 2018, the markets were pricing in a recession. And it looks like we're going to avoid a recession in 2019. The markets are resetting higher on that, and that's been pretty good news.
A lot of the housing and market data that we've seen in previous days has suggested that the economy may not be so healthy. What's your opinion on that?
That's exactly right. The data is not great right now. It's not even good in some of that, and growth is slowing for S&P 500 sales and earnings. That is true, but the market was pricing in at the end of 2018 that the fall off was going to be much more of a disaster. So we're still off of the highs from last year. We're not back to all-time highs in the market. We believe the direction of the market needed to be lower at the end of 2018, but the magnitude of the sell-off was excessive. In other words, the market was pricing in the end of the world, and the end of the world's not coming. But as we get the data here, the data's coming in to okay to bad when it was expected to be disastrous, and that's just not the case.
So what do you suggest for people who are looking for a good investment, and where should they look?
Oh, within stocks, we are recommending to have normal allocations to stocks at this time. We do believe stocks can go higher here. And if we start to see the data not to improve, as you suggested, some of the data is coming in bad. And again, the market was pricing in a disaster. The disaster is not going to occur. But for stock prices to go higher here, we need to see continued improvement in the data and some of that stabilization in the data itself. So we think stocks climb higher, and they'll probably what you see towards the end of the cycles. And we've got to figure we're towards the end of the cycle here. It's been over a 10-year run with the bull market. When we get towards the end of the cycle, what we typically see is defensive sectors start to lead. And so we're recommending those areas such as consumer staples, such as healthcare, real estate investment trusts, as the top of our list here, as markets rally and the cycle comes closer and closer to an end.
So there are actually some opportunities for people to pick some things up here. It's not a situation where you're just saying, hey, hold off for a while because of the uncertainty.
No. And some of the things that are bouncing the most were things that sold off the hardest at 2018. So you're seeing some of the energy plays, some of the technology names that were just completely obliterated at the end of the last year, bouncing back the most, but they're still a very far cry off their highs. So we don't know that those gains will be sustained, but they're definitely rallying. So we want to go into companies that are going to have stable, improving earnings, that are trading at discounts, and there's still many opportunities out there. But I will say this, the PE on the S&P 500 now is pushing 16 times next year's earnings estimates. At the beginning of the year, it was 13.9, so the market is not as cheap as it was back in January.
Let's talk about, you mentioned consumer staples, some of them looking pretty good, but Kraft Heinz not looking so good, getting hammered today. It's down about 27%. Tell us what's going on there.
Absolutely hammered. And this is one of Warren Buffett's six biggest holdings here, so he's feeling the pain. The company came out and missed on earnings last night, missed on sales, pretty bad miss, pretty weak guidance, cut its dividend. And what gives us the most pause in anything? We like to follow the earnings of companies. There was an SEC subpoena issued against Kraft Heinz in October that it was disclosed. And we always think when there's smoke, there's fire. At least we don't have the certainty. We don't have any inside baseball to know there isn't more accounting mishaps. The accounting mishap was only for $25 million. You say only $25 million. For Kraft Heinz, that's immaterial. But again, when the market doesn't know and it perceives where there's smoke, there's fire, it shoot first and ask question later, and this one's really getting reset lower. And that's one thing, when you lose confidence of Wall Street investors, they will sell your stock fast and mass, and that's what's going on with Kraft Heinz today.
And you just have to wonder, I mean, is this sort of a, obviously Wall Street's reacting as though this is going to be a permanent problem, but is there some way that they can turn this around with these two really iconic brands?
Oh, there are still some very good businesses within there, for most certainly, sure. Heinz Ketchup is going nowhere. Philadelphia Cream Cheese is going nowhere. Those are great, solid businesses. They're there. And, Martin, just like the overall stock markets overreacted and sold off too much at the end of 2018, today's selling could be too much as well. Again, the only thing that gives us pause is that SEC subpoena. We just don't know. Are there more accounting issues in there, and we want to see that clear before we would start recommending this name.
In the Heinz category, what other stocks would you be interested in checking out?
Oh, I would say like the Procter & Gamble's of the world. We think some grocery retailers in there, like a Kroger, would be good names. There's a lot of good staples names that have very stable earnings estimates, revision streams, that are going to consistently grow their earnings over the next 3 to 5 years that you could set your watch to that are trading at discounts. So there are many opportunities that lay out there in that space.
And let's talk about dividend stocks, because some people, with the uncertainty, especially over China, some people just kind of looking for a safe space for a little while. Is that something you would advise, at least for some of a portfolio?
Yeah, it's interesting, definitely, because we have a more defensive tilt within our stock allocation right now. So that is one thing we're insulating. But there's one thing, as you mentioned, China. So China's economy was really starting to take a hit last year. It's Chinese stocks, it's measured by the Shanghai Composite, were down about 25% in 2018. You have the trade conflict with the U.S. really hurting China. Some of those fears are going away, and some of the worst of the estimate cuts to Chinese economy seem to be behind us. The Chinese stock markets roared 4.5% up this week, Shanghai Composite. It's up 11-12% on the year, and if you're long U.S. stocks, even Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, these are global multinational companies, we want to see China's economy stabilize because it'll help U.S. multinational companies, and it'll help their profits, and it ultimately helps the stocks too. That was a contributing factor to the sell-off in 2018, China's economy going south. So is that China's economy stabilizing? That's going to help Apple sell more iPhones. That'll help A. O. Smith sell more water heaters and Starbucks sell more coffee. So that's a good thing that we're seeing on those Chinese markets that really should be a bullish sign for stocks over the next several weeks or months.
Good insight, Nick Raich. Thanks for being with us, CEO of the Earnings Scout. The website, earningsscout.com. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a local story of turning struggle to success.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're examining how tough times can help breed success. We welcome Nick Powles, and he is founder of No Limit Agency at 1851 Franchise and author of the new book, Sticks and Stones, Building Entrepreneurial Success from Life's Struggles. Nick, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Very interesting that your career seems to stem from your experiences when you were younger, and they were pretty bad experiences. Tell us about it.
For me, it was being called fat for the first time when I was 5 years old. In that moment, it was horrible. As I reflect later on in life, it ends up being fuel and a great motivator for what I've tried to accomplish in my business career.
When did you turn it around?
So, I mean, it took a long time. I mean, part of the book talks about you go through this foundational stage and eventually you recognize that you're in it and then you build momentum off of it. But it took a long time. I had to get through many challenges in high school before I had some folks start believing in me and saying I could find success in my career.
And so as you push forward like that, are there little successes that you begin having that kind of give you this confidence? Hey, maybe this is going to work out. Maybe I should stick with this.
Absolutely. There was a moment I was covering the Cubs and White Sox for a local paper in Chicago, out of Oak Park. And a gentleman took notice to me in the clubhouse as an under 20-year-old and saw a moment happen and said he believed in me. That led to me getting an internship at Rolling Stone magazine the following summer. So there were many moments like that happened that I needed to make sure that when I was battling through struggles, I could recognize that maybe I did have some potential for what I wanted to accomplish.
You have written a book. Do you also make appearances? Do you talk to people about your experiences?
Yeah, only if it's a paid experience. Completely kidding. I love talking to everybody about it. I mean, the reality is, I think anybody that accomplishes anything, whether it's hosting a radio program, Tom Brady making it to the NFL after being overlooked by every NFL team 5 times over, everybody that finds success in life has had to deal with something that was rough. So I love sharing that story because the hope is that when people start reflecting as their toughest moments as fuel as half full, and they have a shot at doing something really amazing, whether it's running a race or something even larger, like being a professional athlete.
Yeah, certainly lots to chew on and basically just keep pushing forward. Really good stuff. Nick Powles, author of the new book, Sticks and Stones, Building Entrepreneurial Success from Life's Struggles. Still to come, a case of David versus Goliath in the building and beauty industry. A double dose of Entrepreneur Friday.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Indie brands are working to increase their presence in America's beauty industry. Let's learn more from Robert Scheffler, who's CEO of DevaGirl in New York City. Robert, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. By the name of your product, it would indicate that you have something to do with curls. Tell us about it.
Exactly. Thank you for having me. Yes, we're the leader in the curly hair care category. And as much as that sounds like a small little category, in fact, we have more than 60% of women or men that we can target with our product. So we are an indie brand, but we have a large consumer base that we can go after.
What's the most popular product?
We actually invented the no-poo, so that tells you already what the category is all about. We don't believe in shampooing curls. Curls actually need something else. They need just cleansing conditioning, so that's called a no-poo. And we encourage you to quit your shampoo routine and go to the no-poo routine.
So now, DevaGirl, not a new company, been around about 25 years, and yet you are fairly new. Why were you brought in? What are you and the people who brought you in hoping you can do?
Yeah, the company is 25 years old, but we're kind of going into our third chapter here. We were founded by two hairdressers in New York. We still have salons here in New York. Then we were purchased by private equity, and now we are with a new private equity owner. And I'm brought in to take the brand internationally, to take it to a global perspective, and that's what we want to do over the next 2 years.
And you hear you say before about kind of getting people to break up or shake up their shampoo routine. It sounds like you're not just about another product. I mean, you really are about changing habits and getting people to do things differently, maybe more effectively as well.
Exactly. It's really about changing your perspective on how you use product for this category, and It's about a changing habit of how you take care of curls. Most people don't know that there's this wonderful bouncy curls right underneath what they currently have on their head, and you just need the right product and the right education to get there. So we're really there for a movement and a change towards authenticity and natural hair texture.
It seemed like a year or two ago that every woman was getting a new hairstyle with those deep, beautiful curls. Curly, but, you know, a couple of curls. Very, very attractive. You see it on the TV set all the time. When does this change?
Yeah, it's a movement. It's more than a trend now. Obviously, the last 10 years, a lot of it was straightening. You saw the Brazilian blowouts and the straightening products really big in the market. What we've seen over the last 5 years really is this growing trend towards embracing your natural hair texture. It's more than probably hair. It's women embracing their natural skin tone, embracing their natural no-makeup trend that you see maybe with Alicia Keys and so on. And so we've been capitalizing on that, but it's definitely accelerating in the United States. So you saw that on the red carpet most recently with a lot of women wearing the natural curly hair.
Good stuff. Thanks for being with us. Robert Scheffler, CEO of DevaGirl, based in New York. The Entrepreneur Friday here on News Radio. You'll find past programs. Later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a look at the markets. Here's Joan Doniger.
Chris, Wall Street is following its trade hopes to solid gains and sending the Dow right now back within a hair's breadth of 26,000. The Dow is up 148 points to 25,999. The NASDAQ is up 54, the S&P 14. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg has fought its way above the flat line, investment shares leading the way there. On Wall Street, investors are figuring if the U.S. and China are talking about trade, that's enough, even though both sides are said to be in opposite corners on tougher issues such as intellectual property. President Trump set to meet today with China's lead trade negotiator. Word now the U.S. is considering Mar-a-Lago for a possible summit between the president and China's leader. All of this adding to hopes there will be some kind of trade deal worked out by the March 1st deadline for almost doubling tariffs on Chinese goods. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.